Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Hare Krishna. This morning we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7. Scheduled incarnations and their specific functions. Text 13.
Shiro Dadav
Amara Danava Yutapanam Unmatnatam Amrita Labdhaya Adi Deva Prishtena Kachapa Vapur Vididhara Gotra Nidrakshano Dri Parivarta Kashana Kando Shiro Dadava Maradana Vayutapanam.
Shiro Dadava Maradana Vayutapanam.
On Matnatam Amrita Labdaya Adi Deva.
On Matnatam Amrita Labdaya Adi Deva.
Prishtena Kachapa Vapur Vididhara Gotram.
Prishtena Kachapa Vapur Vididhara Gotram.
Nidrakshano Dri Parivarta Kashana Kando.
Nidrakshano Dri Parivarta Kashana Kando.
Kshiro Dadava Maradana Vayutapanam.
Kshiro
On Matnatam Amrita Labdaya Adi Deva.
On Matnatam Amrita Labdaya Adi Deva.
Prishtena Kachapa Vapur Vididhara Gotram.
Prishtena Kachapa Vapur Vididhara Gotram.
Nidrakshano Dri Parivarta Kashana Kando.
Nidrakshano Dri Parivarta Kashana Kando.
Shiro Dadava Maradana Vayutapanam.
Shiro Dadava Maradana Vayutapanam.
On Matnatam Amrita Labdaya Adi Deva.
On Matnatam Amrita Labdaya Adi Deva.
Prishtena Kachapa Vapur Vididhara Gotram.
Prishtena Kachapa Vapur Vididhara Gotram.
Nidrakshano Dri Parivarta Kashana Kando.
Nidrakshano Dri Parivarta Kashana Kando.
Please chant, somebody.
Shirodhava Maradana Vayutapanam.
Shirodhava Maradana Vayutapanam.
Unmatnatam Amrita Labdhaya Adi Deva.
Unmatnatam Amrita Labdhaya Adi Deva.
Prishtena Kachapa Vapur Vididhara Gotram.
Prishtena Kachapa Vapur Vididhara Gotram.
Nidrakshanodri parivartaka shanakandhu.
Nidrakshanodri parivartaka shanakandhu.
One other.
Chiro dadava maradana vayutapanam.
Chiro dadava maradana vayutapanam.
Unmattatam amritalabdaya adideva.
Unmattatam amritalabdaya adideva.
Vestena kachapa vapurvidadhara gocham.
Vestena kachapa vapurvidadhara gocham.
Nidrakshano driparivarta kashana kandu.
Nidrakshano driparivarta kashana kandu.
Shiro tadava maradana vayutapanam.
Shiro tadava maradana vayutapanam.
Unmatnatam
amrita labdhaya adi deva.
Prishtena kachapa
vapurvidadhara gotram.
Nidrakshano
driparivarta kashana kandu. Ladies. Any ladies?
Shiro tadava maradana vayutapanam.
Unmatnatam
amritalabdaya adideva. Prishtena kachapa vapurvidadhara gotram. Nidrakshano driparivarta kashana kandu.
Shira.
Shira.
Milk.
Milk.
Udadhau.
Udadhau.
In the ocean of.
In the ocean of.
Amara.
Amara.
The demigods.
The demigods.
Danava.
Danava.
The demons.
The demons.
Yutapanam.
Yutapanam.
Of the leaders of both hosts.
Of the leaders of both hosts.
Unmatnatam.
Unmatnatam.
While churning.
While churning.
Amrita.
Amrita.
Nectar.
Nectar.
Labdhaya.
Labdhaya.
For gaining.
For gaining.
Adideva.
Adideva.
The primeval lord.
The primeval lord.
Prishtena.
Prishtena.
By the backbone.
By the backbone.
Kachapa. Kachapa.
Kachapa.
Tortoise.
Tortoise.
Vapu.
Vapu.
Body.
Body.
Vidadhara.
Vidadhara.
Assumed.
Assumed.
Gotram.
Gotram.
The Mandara Hill.
The Mandara Hill.
Nidrakshana.
Nidrakshana.
While partly sleeping.
While partly sleeping.
Adri Parivarta.
Adri Parivarta.
Rolling the hill.
Rolling the hill.
Kashana.
Kashana.
Scratching.
Scratching.
Kandu.
Kandu.
Itching.
Itching.
Translation. The primeval lord then assumed the tortoise incarnation in order to serve as a resting place, pivot, for the Mandara mountain, which was acting as a churning rod. The demigods and demons were churning the ocean of milk with the Mandara mountain in order to extract nectar. The mountain moved back and forth, scratching the back of Lord Tortoise, who, while partially sleeping, was experiencing an itching sensation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although it is not in our experience, there is a milk ocean within this universe. Even the modern scientist accepts that there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of planets hovering over our heads, and each of them has different kinds of climatic conditions. Srimad Bhagavatam gives much information which may not tally with our present experience. But, as far as Indian sages are concerned, knowledge is received from the Vedic literatures, and the authorities accept without any hesitation that we should look through the pages of authentic books of knowledge, Shastra Chakshuravat. So we cannot deny the existence of the ocean of milk, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, unless and until we have experimentally seen all the planets hovering in space. Since such an experiment is not possible, naturally we have to accept the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, because it is so accepted by spiritual leaders like Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, and others. The Vedic process is to follow in the footsteps of great authorities, and that is the only process for knowing that which is beyond our imagination. The primeval Lord, being all-powerful, can do whatever he likes, and therefore his assuming the incarnation of a tortoise or a fish for serving a particular purpose is not at all astonishing. Therefore, we should not have any hesitation whatsoever in accepting the statements of the authentic scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. The gigantic work of churning the milk ocean by the combined effort of the demigods and the demons required a gigantic resting ground or pivot for the gigantic Mandara Hill. Thus, to help the attempt of the demigods, the primeval Lord assumed the incarnation of a gigantic tortoise swimming in the ocean of milk. At the same time, the mountain scratched his backbone as he was partially sleeping, and thus relieved his itching sensation. Shiro dadava maradana vayutapanam unmatnata mamrita labdaya adideva prishtena kachapavapur vididara gotram nidrakshano driparivarta kashana kandu. The primeval Lord then assumed the tortoise incarnation in order to serve as a resting place, pivot, for the Mandara mountain, which was acting as a churning rod. The demigods and demons were churning the ocean of milk with the Mandara mountain in order to extract nectar. The mountain moved back and forth, scratching the back of Lord Tortoise, who, while partially sleeping, was experiencing an itching sensation. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Bhastyajyadesh Tarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikapa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So this is the description of Lord Kurama, Kachapa Rupa, Kachapa Vapu, that particular form of the Lord in the form of a tortoise. And there's a few things here which Prabhupada does address, which for the ordinary people, if they were to hear them, they would certainly be taken aback and they would not accept, at least on the basis of their own experience, they would definitely not accept. Prabhupada discusses here, first of all, that there's a milk ocean. There's a milk ocean in this universe. And what can you say? Well, Prabhupada makes the point that you can't really say anything. How can you say that there isn't? If you have not experienced the whole universe, you cannot say, you actually cannot say. Of course, you can say that, well, I've never experienced such a thing. And then we would reply, well, you are a fool, aren't you? An inexperienced fool. But we know people who have experienced everything. And they told us. So, yeah, which is actually the situation. But on the basis of their pride, these people, particularly the scientists and just others who are following the scientists and just others who think that they're very important, they feel that if I haven't experienced it, can't exist, because I am the authority. For something to be accepted as reality, I have to give my stamp of approval, then okay, we will accept. But in this case, it's just, they have no experience of many things, huge number of things, actually a massive number of things. They have no experience. So how can they say? They can't say. And if they were honest, they would say that we can't say. And therefore we are not saying. But because they're not honest, and because they're very proud and arrogant and so on like that, therefore they, when they hear such things, they try to deny. As if the people who accept, like the ocean of milk and various other things, that such people who accept these ideas are just fools. And they try to ridicule and belittle and just criticize from their position of imagined superiority. So a very interesting and important point in that regard is that even just on this planet, within our easy experience, the planet is accessible to us. So basically within our easy experience, on this planet, we have oceans of fresh water, totally unsalted, and we have experience of salted oceans. We do. And the water from the non-salty oceans, if we call them oceans, why not? The waters from them flow into the salty oceans and it all becomes salty. You know, there's so much water flowing in from the rivers, and there's so much water falling from the sky in the form of rain. So much, really a lot, that you would expect that the salty ocean, over some hundreds of years or some period of time, it had become at least less salty. And gradually, you know, because all the water that's entering into it is non-salty, every last drop. But the salty ocean is remaining as salty as ever it was. So, how's that? Yeah, so just an interesting point. Very interesting point. How's it working? You could say, well, the salty oceans at the bottom, you know, is the bottom, the earth, They're getting salt from them. But the non-salty oceans, they're also, you know, on the bottom is the earth. And they're not becoming salty. And you've got like the Dead Sea, I think it's called. It's also, it's like a small ocean. It's like a big, very big lake. But it's extremely salty. It's even much more salty than the regular ocean. It's much more salty. Yeah. You lie, they say. I've never been there, but they say, if you lie in the Dead Sea, you just float completely. And you won't sink. Anyway, so these types of ideas deserve further attention, which the people are not giving. We have in Russia, there's one non-salty ocean, Baikal, and the surface level is not as big as the very big lakes in between Canada and America on the border there, the so-called Great Lakes, but the depth is such, 1.5 kilometers, that just that one lake holds a lot more non-salty water than all those lakes put together. It's really quite amazing. And it's extremely ancient, even by scientific terms. They say it's millions of years old, but it's so non-salty that if you can just drink the water and just, they do that, they bottle the water straight out of the lake, and it's like super health water, fresh water. Anyway, so we say there's an ocean of milk. They say there isn't. They may say, prove it. We say, prove there isn't. And that's as valid, it's no less valid than them saying that we should prove it. And our proof, at least at this stage, or evidence, or, you know, the basis upon which we make these assertions, as Prabhupada says here, we have to accept the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, because it is so accepted by spiritual leaders like Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, and others, and many others. Yeah. Because if there's something beyond your experience, it's actually beyond your experience. You just don't have access. Your senses don't have access to it at all. So there's no question of whether you might perceive it or not. Then whatever you might accept about it or understand about it, it has to come from authorities. And if the people really are authorities, then you can accept it. If they're sort of, you know, chances, or people are not really authorities, they're speculators and people like that, then why would you just accept what they say? But if the person who's giving that information, or, you know, you could say making those claims, or however you might want to put it, if that person who's giving that is otherwise shown to be very, very authoritative, and, you know, so many other things they explained are shown to be correct, and they have very high character, in other words, they're not going to just cheat you by just giving you some wrong information, then you can accept. That is how to acquire knowledge of subject matters beyond our perception. And if they're not such people, if they have their motives, their own agendas, they're hoping to gain something by imparting whatever to you, make some profit of some sort or another, then, you know, basically you can assume that you're not going to get the right information. And one example I had personally, when I first came to South Africa in 1980, when I was at school, it was in New Zealand, but it was a very British system, and we learned British history. And would you believe, we learned British history in South Africa to some degree. We learned about the Boer War. Oh yes, we learned all about the Boer War. And then I came here and I read about the, and I heard about the Anglo-Boer War. Yeah, there was another perspective. The British perspective was the good Englishmen doing their good job of, you know, settling the world and all that sort of thing, that they encountered these nasty Boers who were just not worthy of taking seriously at all as people, and they sorted them out. You know, they showed them who was the boss and who was good and who wasn't good. And the British were good, of course. And the Boers were definitely not good. So then we came here and we found out that the Boers thought that they were good. And that the British had come in later, and, you know, when they discovered diamonds, I think, in Kimberley, moved the border to include Kimberley and, you know, whatever was the British, so-called British part. Anyway, of course, no, we don't want to get into politics at all, but neither of them were good. Neither of them were good. But they try and present that they're good. That's their perspective. They want you to believe that. But it's just not true. And this is what happens when you deal with people who have agendas, motivations. What to speak of, they don't know anyway. But if they have these drives, things they want to achieve by presenting information to you, then you can just take it that we're not getting the right story. Yeah. And there's so many examples of that. So many examples. Even the different newspapers have their own different positions. They're either pro this or anti that. And so when you read a report, you're reading from their perspective, what they think. So, but we accept people like, as Prabhupada mentions, spiritual leaders like Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in our own experience, Srila Prabhupada, because, like in the case of Srila Prabhupada, who we actually had experience of directly, Srila Prabhupada always maintained the highest character, meaning extremely honest. Extremely. I mean, completely, actually. Completely honest. And completely, like, a well-wisher. A selfless well-wisher. Always trying to help in real ways. And never, ever trying to get some advantage of any sort for himself, of any sort. Money, to get people to do things for him so he can live nicely, etc., etc., all these different types of things. Prabhupada displayed very, very vividly and clearly. There were no like gray areas. He had no private life where he could slip off and do something and nobody would know what he'd done. So with people like that, and the other people mentioned, of course, they are before our time, but they're also, you could say, certified or confirmed by their contemporaries as being of the same character. So such people you can trust. If you can trust anyone, you can trust that sort of person. No, some people can't trust anyone. Some people can't trust themselves. Did I ever tell you about there used to be a radio before television? Sure. Comedy show called The Goon Show. And it was so funny. It was just completely unbelievable. British, like sick British humor. It was just amazing. So in one of the episodes, this one guy, he had a secret. He had to tell some information. And so he tells the fellow, okay, I got to tell you this. Okay, go ahead. No, but someone might hear us. Okay, so let's go to some place out of the way. No, but someone, there might be someone around. So eventually they're out in what they call the moors, which means, it's like sort of cold weather desert in England. Yeah, just uninhabited area. And the guy says, okay, you got to tell me. And the fellow says, but someone might hear us. But there's only you and me. Then the guy with the information says, but can I be trusted? Anyway, I don't know if you got it. Maybe it's too British. But can I be trusted? So, there are some people who just... Why can't they trust? Because they've had so much bad experience. Even with themselves. Even with themselves. That they actually can't be trusted. But otherwise, these people that Prabhupada mentions here, and Srila Prabhupada himself, through, extensive experience, they showed themselves to be like scrupulously honest and of just high moral character. So they can be trusted. We trust them. They say these things, or they accept these things. We accept these things. There's a milk ocean, an ocean of honey, an ocean of sugar water, an ocean of liquor of some sort. I think those are the oceans, as I recall. And as Prabhupada points out, no one can say that it's not true. They cannot. Actually cannot. They can say they don't believe it, but they cannot say it's not true. And as Prabhupada explains, therefore, because it's confirmed by these very outstanding people, and many of them confirmed by many, many people of the same types of character. Therefore we accept. Therefore we accept. Otherwise you get sort of stuck in your own little microcosm, your own little world. Yeah. So therefore we accept. And just one interesting little example, and seeing today is the appearance day of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was an associate of Lord Chaitanya's. There's just one little incident, something that happened with him, that, and it's sort of related in principle, that Gadadhar Pandit, the great Gadadhar Pandit from the Panchatattva, Gadadhar Pandit, as a young man, he was a close friend of Lord Chaitanya, and there was a group of them, and one of them was Mukunda Dutt. And, you know, Mukunda Dutt, very great devotee. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was living in some other part, some hundreds of kilometers away, I think in current-day Bangladesh, if I remember correctly. But, you know, geographically just remote. So Gadadhar Pandit, somehow Mukunda Dutt knew of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, but Gadadhar Pandit had not heard of him, didn't know him, never heard of him. And one day Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Navadweep, and Mukunda Dutt was informed, and he was very close to Gadadhar, and he said, you know, this great devotee has come. He is just, you have to meet him. You just have to meet him. He is remarkable. So Gadadhar went with Mukunda Dutt to where Pundarik Vidyanidhi was staying, and you know, when he heard great devotee and so on and so forth, then he thought, yes, he had at least some sort of idea in his mind what this person must be like. Specifically, a person living a simple existence, not very wealthy, and because that's basically the devotees lived like that. But they arrived there, where Pundarik Vidyanidhi was staying, and there was Pundarik Vidyanidhi surrounded by tremendous opulence, wearing very, very valuable clothes and jewelry, gold and diamonds and rubies, etc., all this. And the place where he was living, it was like very extravagant type of furniture, and there were even young women dressed, you know, in somewhat similar ways, and they were fanning him, and he was reclining, sort of like he's the king or something like that. And one of them was dropping grapes into his opened mouth, you know. It was pretty extreme by anybody's standards. And Gadadhar, he saw this, and it was such a surprise. He thought, what is this? Who is this? Come on, you're telling me this is a great devotee? Please, don't say something like that. And he really, really doubted immediately. And Mukunda Dutt noticed. He noticed the expressions and the surprise. And he told Gadadhar, just hang on a minute. Just wait a minute. And he recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. If I remember correctly, it's 3.2.23. aho bakiyam stana kalakutam jighamsaya payayad apyasarvi. That's the first two lines. It's Uddhava lamenting just immediately after the departure of Lord Krishna from this planet. Oh, alas! Now Krishna has gone. Where will I find someone who can be merciful to me like him? Because he was so merciful. He gave the position of nurse in Goloka Vrindavan to Putana. So, where will I find a person who can be merciful to me like that? And when Mukunda Dutt recited this verse, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who's just sort of carrying on in this situation here, suddenly became just stunned, just suspended animation momentarily. And then suddenly went into like a fit of ecstasy. Fit, completely uncontrollable. Rolling on the floor, screaming, pulling his hair out, smashing things, smashing his body against things. Just suddenly so absorbed in remembering Krishna, how merciful is Krishna. And just crying, and you know, it was really extreme. And this went on, if I remember correctly, it was something like 1.5 hours. It wasn't like, you know, 30 seconds or a couple of minutes. This really went on and on and on and on. And Gadadhar could understand that I misunderstood. I really misunderstood. This person is actually a very great devotee. And Gadadhar, actually at that time, Gadadhar was a young man. At that time he was not initiated yet. And through witnessing this, he made the decision to accept Pundarik Vidyanidhi as a spiritual master. And he became initiated by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And I don't know if he had other disciples, but anyway, he became disciple of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And you know, partially just because he was such an incredible devotee, but also partially he felt some obligation on the basis of his offense of thinking negatively about him. And today is Pundarik Vidyanidhi's appearance day. And Lord Chaitanya, when he would go into certain ecstatic moods, he would address, if I remember correctly, address Pundarik Vidyanidhi as father or father-in-law, maybe something like that. Because Pundarik Vidyanidhi in Krishna Leela is Maharaj Vrishabhanu, the father of Srimati Radharani. So when Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, like overwhelmed by that mood, he would address Pundarik Vidyanidhi as father. So anyway, that's interesting. So our process then, because you know that there are different types of authorities or different types of evidences according to Vedic scriptures and just Vedic standards. There are 10 main types of evidences, of which we accept 3 as like the most main, the mainest. Mainist?
Mainister?
Mainistist. Types of evidence. You know, the ones, the three we accept, first of all, is shabda, hearing, but not just, you know, just hearing. Jiva Goswami discusses in Tattva Sandhava, what does he say? Apurusheya shabda, sound vibration which has come from beyond the human level. Apurusheya. Not just the Purushas, but Apurusheya. Then there's inference. What is there? And then there's direct sense perception. These are the three that we accept, but the main one is shabda, hearing from such people as mentioned here. And then there's others. There's others like folk tradition is another, can be a source of evidence or information. Non-existence. If you walk through a room and there's a mango on the table, and then you walk through a little later and you see one child walking out with a mango in the hand, and you go into the room and there's no mango on the table, that is evidence the child may have stolen the mango. This is a type of evidence, non-existence. And anyway, there's various others. But we accept shabda, first of all, apurusheya shabda. Shabda coming not just from people, ordinary people, special, like higher level people, including the Supreme Lord. And then there's direct sense perception and inference. But when direct sense perception and inference are not confirmed by shabda, then we don't accept them. Yeah. Right. So anyway, just a couple of little other things. Prabhupada then makes the point that the Lord can do whatever he likes. If he wants to take the form of a tortoise or a fish, he can do it. And don't say he can't do it. These same types of the skeptics, same types of people, if they hear the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken the form of a fish or a tortoise or a, you know, these forms, they'll just, again, just say, ah, nonsense. How could it be? No, no, no. How do they know? The same people confirm that the Lord has appeared like in these ways. And of course, in principle, we understand he can do whatever he likes. Literally. He actually has no limitations. Prabhupada was asked once that, you know, we hear from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the soul is eternal. But if Krishna wanted, could he destroy a soul? Make non-existent a soul? And Prabhupada answered, yes, if he wanted, he could. But he won't do that. And he doesn't do that. Yeah. Like you may have heard in Australia, I think, one time, in a lecture, Prabhupada was saying, same idea, Krishna can do what he likes. And one clever person from the audience said, well, if Krishna can do whatever he likes, can he make a mountain so heavy that even he cannot lift it? And Prabhupada said, yes, and then he'll lift it. So Prabhupada says, I know it's really important, therefore we should not have any hesitation whatsoever. That's emphatic. That's really emphatic. It's not like, yeah, well, you shouldn't hesitate. Best not to. You shouldn't have any hesitation whatsoever in accepting the statements of the authentic scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though now, in the last year or few years, or not long, there's been quite a bit of talk of people going to the moon, going to Mars. And of course, you know, the Americans say they went to the moon. So it's possible for devotees, when there's so much talk about it and they seem so confident, it's possible that some devotees, may not, as Prabhupada says here, accept without any hesitation whatsoever such, you know, like cosmic statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. But still, the same point is there. We should accept. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it works out. See what happens. Yeah. And last point. This Mandara Mountain was going to act as the churning rod, if you know. Churning rod. Vertical sort of stick or something, with a paddle at the end, and is put into some bowl or pot of some liquid, and then with some rope or something tied around it, then you can make that vertical stick, whatever, the rod, turn. And then when it turns, it transforms, like milk, for example, or yogurt. They become transformed by the churning action. So they wanted to churn the ocean of milk to get nectar. But, you know, it's an ocean. They need something big. So the demons and the demigods, celestial demons and the demigods, they arranged to get, they got Mandara Mountain. It's a mountain. It's massive. It's massive. They got that to use as the rod, the thing to be moved in the ocean. And they got Vasuki, the celestial serpent, to agree to become like the rope for moving it. But then when they put this mountain in the ocean of milk, it sank to the bottom. And they were trying to churn, but it wouldn't move because it was on the bottom. So then the Lord incarnated as described here, Kachapa Rupa, Kachapa Vapu, the form of a tortoise. And they put the mountain on his back, and then they were able to churn because the mountain was able to turn on his shell. But in a more sort of, you know, personal and subtle way, his back was itching. And you know what it's like. We've all had itches. You need a good scratch sometimes. So when this mountain was moving on his back, he felt that scratching, and it kind of relieved the mild itching sensation he felt. Because he's a person. If he wants to have his back scratched and enjoy it, he can also do it. And you can't say he's too big to ever get an itching back. He couldn't do it. We can, but he can't, because he's too big. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Words of wisdom?
Well, there is one thing Srila Prabhupada said about trust in authorities I could mention. He was, as you said, completely trustworthy.
Yeah.
In the same category as great personalities that present the Shastra.
Yeah.
But he wrote a letter to a disciple saying, you don't have to accept me as a guru. I may cheat you, just accept Krishna. Because he wanted the devotee to have faith in Krishna.
That's nice. Yeah. But that was one of the sort of symptoms, one of many, by which he, you know, which sort of showed his qualification to be trusted. Yeah. Yeah, good. Swarup Damodar Prabhu, some enlightenment.
I think that was Krishna Prabhu. Tells that story. He had interaction with Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you're the only person that I can trust.
I see.
No, don't trust me. I may also cheat you, but Krishna won't cheat you.
Right.
I was thinking about accepting from authority just by appreciating their qualification and their character. I mean, even in the material world, we do that, like in court cases or testimonies by experts. They try and, the defense, whoever's putting this witness up on the stand, they try
right.
to show how qualified this person is.
Right.
And then, based on their qualification, the jury just accepts
right.
what the person is saying. So they do that, even though the jury hasn't seen the actual situation, but simply by accepting.
Right.
But then the same people will doubt that there's a notion of mulk when such a highly qualified person of high character says
yes.
so. You know, so they follow the same process, but they won't follow it
right.
in a theistic way.
Right, yeah, because they have some capacity, usually, for accepting, but then it's not so great. Plus, you know, as time goes on, the cheating that's going on, it's becoming, you know, step by step more clear that more people are cheating. And you know, Mr. Trump, Hare Krishna, one of his main, or at least one sort of important thing that he did in this regard, was that when evidence that was presented for certain sociological and whatever economic types of situations by, experts, he rejected them, and it became almost like a mantra. You know, we don't want to hear from experts. And, you know, just very recently I read that one of those experts, who was it? The British, maybe Chancellor of the Exchequer, or, you know, someone really is meant to be an expert, who said that Brexit was just going to be a financial disaster, and really presented many arguments, like not necessarily when it happens, but just in the meantime. But it hasn't been. And he himself had to come out and say, yes, you know, I made a mistake. 'Cause he predicted that immediately the British economy would collapse, but it hasn't. If anything, it's maybe slightly stronger than it was. So I think, you know, and Bhagavatam says that gradually people will become so frustrated with experts and particularly the politicians that they'll just leave the city and let me get away from these people and let me just get into my own space. I'll look after myself because they can't do it. It's my little political sermon for today. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Going to Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj.